You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, it's another episode of Nerd Overload. It's a show where we talk about all that geek stuff that you like. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Samantha.
We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. As always, we have a bunch of news, but let's first get into some things we've been checking out.
Homework doesn't count, I imagine.
Homework doesn't count, yeah. Unfortunately. No.
I mean, it is something nerdy. Nerd.
Yeah, something nerds do. Homework.
Yeah. I can go into mine real quick. My week has been very much movie riff centric. The first thing I did was I checked out the Riff Tracks Samurai Cop live.
You really love that bad movie.
It's a great bad movie. Yeah, it's super bad. It's super terrible, but funny. And they did one of those Fathom events where they live stream it out to a bunch of different theaters. So I was able to make it down for that one. Unfortunately, I missed like the first 20 minutes because work ran a little later than I thought. But
hey, you still watched it.
But yeah. I've seen the movie enough
that
I didn't miss much. And the riffs were on point. It was really bad. For the folks who don't know what Samurai Cop is, it was this really super ultra low budget. Action buddy cop movie, kind of. That was made in either the late 80s or early 90s. No one really knows for sure.
It looks like it could be either.
It could be either one. And
this is the head on the piano.
This is the one about, you know, I want his head cut off. I want it put on my piano. All this stuff.
It's not the one with the band with Orphans.
No, that's Miami Connection. Yeah. That is a great movie.
That one's fantastic.
Yeah,
also.
That is a great movie. No, this is the one with the guy who started filming with long hair and by the end had to wear a ball cap with a wig underneath it because they told him he was done, so he shaved his hair and then was like, they said, no, we got to pick up for...
We got some reshoots.
No, they weren't reshoots. The movie was too short, so they had to film a couple extra scenes to pad it out to 90 minutes.
You know you got a good movie on your hands.
Yeah, no.
When you literally have to film padding for it.
Yeah, no, this is the movie that the biggest name star in it is Robert Zadar. You know, that guy with the huge chin from all the Mystery Science Theater episodes.
From Soul Taker, which is one of my favorite Mystery Science Theater.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, I guess he was in a couple of mainstream ones. He was the Maniac Cop, where he was a zombie killer cop.
Good old Maniac Cop.
Yeah, and I think he was one of the bad guys in Tango and Cash, I think.
Mm.
Yeah. But, God, the movie is terrible. Oh, my God.
Like, it's like they're trying to make a parody of, say, like, Lethal Weapon. But they're not parodying it.
Oh,
it's not bad.
And that's the best way to get a bad movie is when you're completely 100% sincere with it.
Yeah.
Like Evil Dead.
Yeah. Unlike stuff like Sharknado.
Which is purposely bad.
Where they're purposely making a bad movie, you lose some of that fun.
Yeah, it has to be genuine.
Yeah, you have to genuinely be thinking you're making...
The Room?
The next big thing. Yeah, like The Room. Exactly like The Room.
Oh, I hope not exactly like The Room.
Well, the way I explained this to a friend of mine was this was... The Room of buddy cop movies. And it is.
Yeah.
There are awkward sex scenes.
Yeah.
There's
awkward dialogue where they just, like, they use, like, they swear and it just sounds off.
There are conversations between two actors where it's clear that they are in completely separate locations because all it is headshot for one person, then headshot for another. And the background is totally, completely different. I showed you guys Samurai Cop before.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, we watched
it. Do you
we
remember the yarn lion?
Yes.
In that one scene?
Oh, God, yeah.
The mounted lion head that's just made out of yarn.
It looks so bad.
In the background of that one scene, that was supposed to be in the background of like a really fancy restaurant, but it was clearly the director's office. God, it was terribly great.
Riff Tracks guys always nail it.
And they did. They really nailed it. They really nailed a lot of the jokes.
I've been thinking about Riff Tracks in comparison to the new Mystery Science Theater a lot, and I want to say maybe they're kind of funnier.
I think they kind of are, too, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you do lose something when you don't have the silhouette and the robots and the...
A little bit.
So it evens out to be about the same in the end.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. Yeah, I think the Riff Tracks guys' jokes hit a little better. They know the pacing
a little better, which I think, which I'll get to in my next thing here in a minute. But yeah, if you get a chance to check out the Riff Trax, they always put out DVDs of the of their live stuff, so you can always check that out at a later date.
Go to their website and just buy the streams the digital. Right
yeah,
there.
You can do that too. Sure. I mean, yeah, if you want to do it the easy way.
Also, there's a lot of their movies are on Amazon Prime too now.
Yeah, whatever they can't get the licensing for the movie outright, they sell the MP3 so you can sync it up with your own movie. Because they've done stuff like Twilight and they've done Man of Steel.
Yeah, they've done some more recent movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's another thing that kind of is a plus in their column. Is that they're able to do whatever movie they want.
But not necessarily but some bad movie from the 50s.
Yeah. 60s, yeah.
Yeah.
But they're the professionals. Like, they've done it for
that's forever. Been their entire career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Making fun of movies.
Which is why Mystery Science Theater, the new one, it still feels like they're feeling it out a little bit. Because they are. All these riffers are new.
They're new, but they have a lot of seasoned veterans in the writer's room behind them.
Yeah.
And they, because it's not live, they have the luxury of being able to go back and redo takes if they don't hit the joke completely 100%. Which, again, they didn't do in the original series, but this new one, it's clear that that's what they kind of have done.
It feels less organic.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and talk about my next thing. I watched the first 7 episodes of the new Mystery Science Theater. There's 14 new episodes
you're
up.
You're further in than I.
Yeah, I'm about halfway through.
How many have we watched? I think three.
Yeah.
Yeah, Time Travelers was the last one I watched.
Time Travelers is so boring.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. I want to preface this by saying I really like the new Mystery Science Theater. It took me a little bit to get into it, but it's really kind of starting to hit the buttons for me again. That's not to say that there aren't issues. And I'm going to be probably the unpopular guy for the week. Because I'm going to have some opinions that, you know, maybe it's not the greatest thing on the planet Earth, you know?
Well, at least you're not letting yourself ride the nostalgia wave.
Yeah.
You're actually looking at it critically.
That's what I try to do when I go into anything is I try to go into it critically and without a preconceived bias for or against it. At least I really, really try to. That first episode wasn't the best.
It was a little rough. They were hitting the jokes a little too fast. But
yeah, they didn't give any of the jokes enough time to breathe. They just kind of were just barreling through.
I love that rap, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that
I
rap.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's the highlight and the kind of the moment we were like, okay, it's going to be okay.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I think they built up the backstory a little more than, I don't know.
They either didn't do it enough.
Or they did it too much.
It's not at the right point because there's still things I want to know.
Yeah.
That I don't know if I'm ever gonna get explained to me.
Yeah.
But then there's also stuff that I didn't need to know that now I know.
Yeah. They kind of put the emphasis on weird spots. Something else. All of the celebrity cameos during the interstitials throw me right out of it. Like so far we've seen Will Wheaton in the first episode. A couple episodes down the line, they bring in Neil Patrick Harris. He has a duet with Felicia Day.
But that sounds like fun.
But it takes you completely out of everything. There's a Jerry Seinfeld where his shtick falls completely flat.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the whole joke is it was almost like a mic kind of joke thing where the Jerry Seinfeld was like this. Everything he does turns into like a $1 million idea. So it's Felicia Day and Patton Oswalt throwing ideas for like money making schemes at him. And he's going, no, see, this is what you got to do. This is you do this, you do this, you do this. And that's how you get the great idea. Next one. Here we go. And it just completely like was not.
I was kind of disappointed by the Pearl Observer and Professor Bobo.
That was kind of a bummer.
Like you're not going to come down and like
interact with them in any way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although Observer didn't have his brain in it.
Yeah. It was kind of freaky that the voice of Gypsy looks so much like Mary Jo Pell. Like the clone of Pearl that they had in that one bit. That's the voice of Gypsy. And yeah, looks almost like
I thought it was.
No, No, that's that's a completely different person. Her. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Woo-woo.
But no, the episodes get better. I think by around episode 4, I would say, it really kind of started hitting for me. They slowed down on the jokes a little bit.
There were some jokes in Cry Wilderness that were really good.
Cry Wilderness. That movie makes no sense.
And it's a lot of animal footage.
Yeah.
Spliced together.
That's all it was.
But when they walk in and the title's on screen and they go, "Well, if you say so," and they go, "Wilderness!" And like, that is a Mystery Science Theater joke right there.
That's a MST3K joke, for sure. Yeah. You know, I don't have a problem with the new voices. It took me a second to get used to Tom Servo's new voice.
Yeah. Crow sounds almost the same.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to tell Servo and Jonah apart a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah. Sometimes. Jonah's doing a fine job.
He's playing the role, the same role as Mike and Joel. Like, it's the same kind of character.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess part of the problem I have with it is it seems a little polished. And by that, I mean, the original series had this kind of feeling of, we stayed up until 2 o'clock the night before filming to throw something together. Kind of a last minute kind of thing. What's the saying? Necessity is the mother of invention, something like that, where things are just kind of, we're just going to do. And it's like, the original series, no matter how big the show got, it was always filmed in like Minnesota.
Yeah.
And it had that kind of smaller town kind of roots, where everything here is, you know, it's out in California, out in, you know, Los Angeles, and you have actors.
Prop makers
and stuff like that, instead of just, you know. Well, I mean, I guess Jonah and Patton are stand-up comedians.
Oh, yeah.
And Patton really fits. He fits in perfectly.
He's so good.
He fits in probably the best out of the entire cast, I believe. And yeah, we get a lot of that homemade kind of stuff, like the intro sequence and the props and everything.
The intro sequence is really fantastic.
It's pretty neat, but it has like kind of like, we've spent a lot of time making this purposely look kind of shoddy, and that kind of comes through a little bit for me. I know it's nitpicky. It's really nitpicky. I get it. The intro song, while it's very well done, it also has that kind of
almost professional feeling.
I like it, though. I think it sounds good.
It's fine. I kind of like them having like a house band.
I love that.
Harmar Superstar, I think is the name of the guy.
Their house band is very cool.
Yeah. But again, it has that kind of, it's a little too polished for it to be
crappy,
janky, but not.
Although I think that's kind of Kinga's deal.
Yeah.
It's like, if you look into her backstory, like, she's trying to capture that feeling of the original show and market it.
But why do we need a backstory?
Yeah. It's another one of those things where, like, Joel thought too much about this and not about something else.
Yeah. I think that's,
like, I want to know why the bots are there.
Yeah. Who knows why they showed up.
Which he said next season they'll get into that, but like, why not now?
Why not now?
It honestly would take 2 seconds.
It would take one line.
Yeah.
That's all. Yeah, you don't need to show anything. You don't need to go into a super deep background of anything. This is why the Mystery Science Theater, the movie back in the 90s, didn't do so well. Part of the reason why Joel had no part of it was because Joel wanted backstories for everyone. He wanted the movie to be about, you know, just be on the ship and give a backstory, like a contained story of...
Which kind of makes more sense than just making an episode of the show you have to go to a movie theater to watch.
Yeah.
Which is what they did.
Which is what they did. But I like that it's exactly what the show is, just...
I mean, it's a great movie.
Yeah.
And it's a really good episode of the show, like one of the best episodes of the show.
Well, yeah. The only other thing that I kind of am having an issue with is, and I'm going to be the bad guy of this show. I'm going to have the internet mad at me. I don't think Felicia Day is the best fit for her role on the show. Oh, I don't know.
I hear a mob outside with torches.
Yeah,
already.
They're gathering already.
I don't know. I thought she was fine. Like, I don't have any complaints.
I mean, she's fine. She's okay. But I don't. They could have done a little better. I think
maybe that they're not giving her enough to do that I've seen so far.
Maybe. That could be part of the problem, but
to be fair, she was pregnant at the time.
Well, true. Well, yeah, true. But it's still,
I like her outfit. And I like the bone bunny ears motif that they have.
Oh yeah. Going again, on. the background band and the everything. That's kind of neat. None of this has made it to where I can't enjoy the series, and I'm having fun with it.
It's honestly as good as you could expect it to be.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just I'm seeing a lot of people online going, "This is the greatest season of Mystery Science Theater we've ever seen in my entire life ever." And if you have any kind of negative opinion about anything, you are absolutely 100% wrong. I don't see it that way.
I mean, it's great, but I mean, it's not as good as some of the prime episodes from back in the day, but I really wasn't expecting that either.
Yeah, like, so far there have been a lot of really good jokes, but there's nothing that stood out quite like a Zap Rousedower or a Puma Man.
Yeah.
nothing has hit that yet, and time might be part of that. That this show has been, that those episodes have been around for 10 plus years, where these are have been out less than a week.
The biggest breakout so far has been that song. Has yeah. been the Every Country Has a Monster.
Yeah,
song.
I've been seeing that everywhere. But I'm enjoying it. It's fine. It's not the best season of Mystery Science Theater I've ever seen. I have some issues, but
you're still enjoying it though.
I'm still enjoying it. Oh yeah, I'm never not going to enjoy Mystery Science Theater. I love movie riffing.
I think as long as it keeps going, it's only going to get better over time.
I agree. Yeah. As they kind of feel it out better, I think, yeah. Now, I will say, I've seen a lot of people say that their least favorite episode so far is Star Crash, and I love Star Crash. That's the David Hasselhoff space movie. I
think I've seen parts of that movie.
Yeah. They played it as a bad movie night one time.
Oh, did they?
They did. Yeah, it was a couple weeks ago, or a couple months ago, I think. But that movie is terrible, and I love that episode. And I looked at the writers for that episode. That's the episode that the, at least I caught Bill Corbett. I think all of the Riff Tracks guys were part, like, came in to write jokes for that episode. And they slowed down the jokes a little bit. They let the movie breathe a little bit, and it hit really well for me. But, you know, what do I know? All right, go ahead.
Let's see. I put a couple hours into the Full Throttle remaster, the remaster of LucasArts Adventure Game Full Throttle.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's good, but it's hard for me to judge because I remember the solutions to every single puzzle in the game.
Oh, okay.
Because as a child, I played it over and over and over again.
So you're just kind of blazing through it?
Oh, yeah. I'm halfway done, and I played it for maybe an hour and a half this morning. Oh,
wow.
I mean, it looks really good. Like, I can't say it's better or worse, though, because the pixel art is also really good. Like, it's nice that it's widescreen now, but, like, the original has really, really great animation and pixel art, and it kind of gives it a grittier look, which suits the game because it's about future bikers.
Ah, cool.
But then again, the new animation looks really good, too, because it's crisper, but it does make it look a little bit cartoonier,
mm-hmm.
which kind of goes against that future biker
aesthetic.
I want to say apocalypse, but not really. It's kind of just a desert. But
gotcha.
So like it's a road warrior kind of thing.
Kind of, but it's a little more civilized than Road Warrior.
So Mad Max, where they actually had like a government and a system.
Yeah, yeah, it's probably closer to Mad Max.
Gotcha.
I mean, the story's still really great, and like, honestly, the puzzles originally aren't terribly difficult either.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly pretty obvious solutions as long as you can find the items you need. But I would highly recommend it if you haven't played it before. If you haven't played it before, you're in for a treat. But if you have, you're going to remember all the solutions because it's, like I said, not a terribly difficult puzzle game.
Yeah.
The music's fantastic, too. Voice acting's great. It's got Mark Hamill in it.
Oh,
the
there
bad
you go.
Guy, so.
Ah, there you go. Awesome.
I don't know. You were seeing a lot of the stuff for the first time, weren't you?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
It looked fine. I don't...
You're not... I'm not really into bikers. I'm not really either, but for some reason I love this game.
It was fine.
That's a ringing endorsement, Samantha.
Yeah, it's
not
fine.
Like I was playing it.
I think if you're up between Full Throttle Remaster and Thimbleweed Park mm-hmm. for adventure games, definitely go Thimbleweed.
Gotcha.
Because it's actually a lot, game-wise, it's a lot better.
Yeah.
You know, graphically, not better. But It's a better adventure game if that's what you're looking for.
Gotcha.
See, I put some time into Flint Hook, which is it's the new game by Tribute Games, the people that did Mercenary Kings and Wizorb.
So you're saying that this is not the game developer, this is just a tribute?
No, it's the game developer Tribute Games.
See, you got to roll over my Tenacious D joke. You just got to trample right over it. Okay, all right. I see how it is.
And it's fantastic, though. It's okay. Pixel space pirate Binding of Isaac.
Okay.
Yeah. As a platformer with a grappling hook and a time slowdown belt.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But you're a space pirate who gets these bounties, and then you go raid pirate ships, space pirate ships that are procedurally generated, like kind of mazes like Isaac levels are.
Okay, cool.
And you go in there, collect loot, you get perks that change your abilities. At the beginning, you have so many perk slots that you can slot to change your flint hook a little bit, and then you go through and you get loot and stuff. And each time you finish one of these ships, you get a gem for your... He has a little compass with a slime guy that lives in it. And you feed him so many gems, and then the compass slime guy can tell you where exactly the bounty is.
Mm.
And then you go to that bounty and fight the boss. So there's still kind of a story, along with it also being a roguelike at the same time.
Okay, cool.
And it's fantastic. It really is great. The animation is amazing. The pixel art's really good. And the control is super tight and nice.
Sounds cool.
So if you're into roguelikes, and if you like Binding of Isaac, you'll definitely like this, even though it's a platformer and not a Zelda knockoff.
Gotcha.
I have been playing a new indie title on the Switch called Wonder Boy: The Dragon's Trap, which is, it's fun. Like I wasn't sure if I was going to get it or not, but I looked through a bunch of like the pictures and video and stuff. I was like, you know what? I really like the art style, and I'm intrigued by a full orchestra soundtrack. So
yeah, it's an indie remake of the original Wonder Boy 3.
Yeah, it's kind of fun though, because there's a button. If you hit it, there's a button on the controller, and it will switch the game from the very charming, fun, hand drawn animation of the whole game to an old school looking 8-bit. And it's all side scrolling platforming.
It turns it back into the original game.
Yeah.
Which, oddly enough, Full Throttle can do that, too, by the press of a button.
Nice.
But, yeah, not really any story to it, just you are a adventurer or adventure girl, and...
You're a wonder boy or wonder girl.
Wonder gal.
Wonder gal. I can't say wonder girl. That's a DC Comics. It's a DC Comics trademark.
Yeah, yeah. TM, TM, TM.
And you're going through these areas, finding the dragon room. Got a bunch of doors and pits and whatnot that go to all the kinds of different places, and it's really easy for me to get lost.
It's like a Metroidvania, isn't it?
Kinda, yeah. Yeah.
Those are always good.
Randomly, you'll find like a door to a shop where you can buy like a new sword or armor or something. But the hook of the game is when you fight a dragon and you beat it, you get cursed, and the curse turns you into different things.
Mm.
The first thing you get turned into is a lizard man who can't block, but he has a ranged fireball that he spits. And then I've got the second curse now, where I'm a little mouse warrior guy, and I can walk on walls basically for special blocks and stuff.
Oh, cool!
It actually sounds a lot like the last Shantae game.
Yeah,
I forget what it was called. Half Genie Hero.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right. I'm not sure if I can switch between curses or not yet. I haven't tried. I don't think so, maybe.
I don't know. I need to play this game. It sounds very much up my alley.
Oh, yeah. The music is great. The art style is fantastic. The level designs is good. The background art is amazing.
How much is it?
25.
It's a little steep, but not bad.
Yeah, yeah. It's right up there with, like, Shovel Knight.
Yeah.
But no, I've been playing. I've been having a lot of fun with that.
Because everything on the Switch is expensive.
It's a little bit expensive. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I will admit that.
Yeah.
That's
what we get for being early adopters, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, there's not really any games to play.
Yeah.
I still got to get Jackbox.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to do that. We need to do that and have a game night.
Yeah.
For sure.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
It's perfect for the Switch. It's absolutely perfect for the Switch.
I bet it is. Yeah.
I played the new Overwatch update a little bit.
Oh, cool. I haven't played it yet, so...
You better get on it.
Yeah, because it's going to go away, and that's really sucks.
Yeah. But the horde mode's pretty cool. It's got two different versions you can play. You can play the storied version, where you only have certain heroes you can pick from, kind of like the Junkenstein thing. Or there's a mode where you play the same thing, but with any character you want to play with.
The non-canon, the what-if version.
The maybe. Dream match.
Yeah. Dream match, yeah. where everyone's just Bastion, basically. Mm-hmm.
yeah.
Which doesn't make sense at all, because you're fighting Bastions.
Some of them are Bastions, yeah. Yes. And there are also some... Orisas in there, too. Or the original model. That was Orisa, or whatever they call it.
Yeah, OR-15.
Yep. No, it's not bad. I had fun. I had a good team when I played through it. I was Reinhardt, and I was basically just waiting for robot minions to line up, and I would just pin them all.
Nice.
But you get a little story. You see some different costumes. It's Tracer's first mission since joining Overwatch.
Hmm. I love her little cadet outfit, too. It's
yeah,
really
it's
good.
Pretty cute.
With her tiny hat.
Yeah.
Yep. You hear Reaper's non-Edgelord Grim Reaper voice. It actually sounds like a person. They call it's kind of weird for them to call out Commander Morrison and not Soldier 76. Yeah. There is a skin where you get a Torbjorn without a beard, and it disturbs
Ooh,
me.
Oh, that's weird.
Oof. I do not like it. He's got like biker chops and like a big bulbous naked white chin. I'm like, Ugh. No. I'm fine with your beard being shorter and your prequel outfit, but no, not this no beard crap.
Yeah, you gotta have a beard.
With your baseball cap.
He is a beard.
Yeah.
I'm not a dwarf. I'm Swedish.
Even though he looks like they just plucked a dwarf out of World of Warcraft. And also the same voice actor
who voices the dwarves in Warcraft.
Molten Core.
Yeah, which is a raid in Warcraft.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's really all I've really done. That and sewing, and I messed up what I was sewing.
Oh, bummer. What were you making?
A bag.
Oh, okay.
And I messed up on, because I was trying to make a flat bottom bag, and I messed out on the cutting and the sewing, and I was like, no.
Ah, bummer.
Flat bottom bags, they make the rockin' world go around.
Pretty much.
I think we just picked out our song for the week. All right, we'll be back. Stay tuned. We'll get in some news after the break.
Nerd Overload is sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. MB Subculture is the one-stop shop for all your geeky needs, from comics and collectibles to unique custom costumes, masks, makeup, and more. MB Subculture is located at 122 West Rensselaer Street in downtown Bucyrus, 567-806-5364, and online at subcultureoh.com.
Hey, we're back. That was Fat Bottom Girls by Queen. It's a great song.
Yeah.
They do make the rock and world go round.
They sure do.
And we transitioned so well into it.
Perfectly.
We could yes. not play it at that point.
Yeah. So anyway, let's get into a little bit of news here. First up is the new teaser trailer for Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi.
Woo! It's a Star Wars again, like every Christmas now.
Yeah.
Which hey, is, that's
I'm fine.
Fine.
With it.
Yeah. I'm cool with that.
It's the best present I could ever get.
Yeah.
I find myself not getting as excited about it, though, now that it's just a thing that happens.
Yeah, that's true. But
I don't know. Rogue One was
it's still,
amazing.
Yeah. It's still a consistently good thing that happens.
Yeah, they haven't messed it up yet.
Yeah.
And I don't think they will. Yeah.
I would certainly hope not.
Yeah.
I would rather have a Star Wars every year than a Call of Duty every year.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about this trailer a little bit. I liked how it paralleled the Episode 7 trailer a little bit. Where the first shot of the episode 7 was Finn like popping on the screen really, really quickly and like breathing heavy, and then this one has Rey doing the same thing, but from the opposite side of the camera.
Yeah,
like looking the opposite way.
I noticed the parallels there too, or mirroring, I guess.
Yeah,
maybe.
I didn't think about it, but you're right.
Yeah, it looks great for what we see. I really enjoy how we can get trailers for Star Wars and have them look great and not tell us a single thing about the plot. Yeah.
Yes. It's not like that. What movie was that recently that did? Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
It's not the Spider-Man trailer that's just the condensed version of the entire film.
It's just the movie. Yeah. You get the whole movie in that 3 minutes. Where this one, yeah, there's Jedi stuff and there's space fight stuff.
It's just a bunch of really cool visuals.
Yeah.
Which is what the other trailers pretty much did. Honestly, the episode 7, trailer with all the trailers, you still didn't quite know exactly how the movie was going to go.
This is the way trailers should be done.
Oh, yeah.
minimal dialogue, you get cool visuals, and a release date.
Yep.
Yeah.
Feed the hype.
Yeah. That's all you need.
Don't need an explanation. I don't need... God, what was that one movie that had the ending of the movie in the trailer? That Quarantine movie.
Quarantine. Ant-Man had the final battle with... Yellow Jacket.
Yeah.
On the train, the toy train. The best part of that fight scene.
The Thomas the Tank Engine.
Yeah. In the trailer.
Yeah. That was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're talking about Star Wars here.
Well, yeah. Well, no, we can. We're talking about how trailers should and should not be done as an overarching thing. Because there's honestly not a lot to talk about with this trailer.
No. Like, looks like Luke's having some emotions.
Yeah.
And not just staring like he ate a bad sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Finn's being a sleeping beauty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe Finn's in some kind of coma. I mean, he did get wrecked at the end of the last movie.
I hope Poe comes and kisses him awake.
You and half the internet.
That's all I want.
Can you imagine if they did?
With seven Ewoks?
The seven
Ewoks? It is Disney.
Yeah. Yeah. So I wonder who's going to be piloting the Millennium Falcon, because we see it in the trailer, and at the end of the last movie, no one really had it. Well,
Rey has
Rey
and Chewie have it.
Oh, that's right. Rey and Chewie do have it. That's right.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Well, never mind.
It's Han probably Chewie.
Kind of seemed like he was willing it to Rey a little bit.
Yeah.
Which, that really messed me up, because like the way like they played that out, it felt like they were going to say that like Rey was the daughter of Han Solo.
She still could be.
I don't want her to be, though.
Well, no.
I like the theory that she is a Kenobi granddaughter.
That's what I'm banking on.
I don't want that to be, though, because it's so obvious.
Yeah.
Although I saw some Star Wars Celebration thing, which that happened. That's where this all came from.
Yeah.
The big Star Wars convention.
Mm-hmm.
Which a buddy of mine went to, and I was super jealous.
Oh, man.
But some panel from that or something put on their character names, put last names on both Rey and Finn.
Really?
And it said Rey Kenobi. And Finn said Finn Windu.
No.
I don't think either one of those are legitimate. Well, Rey Kenobi might be.
Man, if they make Finn... if they make the
other person of color?
Yeah, they make the new black guy related to one of the two other black guys.
The only two other black people in space.
Apparently.
Yeah, that would not be cool.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah.
Hey, Han Solo's wife was a person of color.
Yeah. She's not in the movies.
She is canon.
I suppose she is canon.
She's canon, yeah.
And also, Poe's mom, I think, was a person of color too in the Fall of the Empire comic.
What if Rey is Palpatine?
Ooh,
Rey Palpatine,
or Rey whatever assumed name
Palpatine family used to get away from that.
Yeah,
kind of like a Hitler kind of thing.
Yeah, well, yeah.
No, I'm serious. Like,
yeah, so yeah, no, yeah, yeah.
Like Hitler's nephew left Germany and joined the United States Army.
Yeah,
during World War II.
Yeah, but yeah, what if Rey's manifestation of the Force is Palpatine, like trying to
like
reassert
like a weird Force ghost possession thing?
Well, maybe not full on possession, but like trying to
influence
or something.
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
Although
it's probably going to be Kenobi, because when in episode 7, when they had that scene where she touched the lightsaber,
you hear Ewan McGregor's voice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yell Rey. So, yeah.
Nobody knows.
I'm sure it'll be the cliffhanger climax to episode 8. We'll find
probably
out.
Probably.
Yeah.
Also, this trailer seems a little darker.
Well, it's the second movie in the series.
Yeah,
that's always the way it goes.
It'll be the Empire.
The Empire's going to make a big jump forward in this. We're probably going to see... We didn't see any Kylo Ren other than his crushed mask, which makes me believe he is going to be coming back super hard.
Well, you see him, like, behind his, like, with his lightsaber, with his big scar.
Oh, yeah, you see that. Yeah,
From what I've read, he has a new costume with a new helmet.
Okay.
Phasma has a new costume.
I'm glad Phasma's back, because she didn't do jack diddly in
episode
7.
Yeah, they, like, really, like, lifted her up in the marketing for that movie.
She was the Boba Fett of
Yeah,
that.
She was the... Yeah.
She was
yeah.
really
looks really cool, but doesn't do anything.
Did nothing in that movie. Like Boba Fett, zero things.
Boba Fett did more.
Yeah.
In a movie and a half.
Yeah.
Than Captain Phasma did.
Speaking of Boba Fett, where was Benicio del Toro in all of this? Because he's supposed to be in it playing
a Fett descendant.
Potentially.
Potential Fett descendant.
James Fett.
Yeah.
Robert Fett. Robert Michael Fett.
Boba Fett Jr., but he calls himself Robert.
Yeah.
I don't want to live in my dad's shadow.
Michael Fett.
I don't know. I'm excited for it.
George Michael Fett.
George Michael Fett.
You just see him walking with the Boba Fett helmet and the Charlie Brown sad music in the background.
And now all I'm getting is like the scene in Attack of the Clones when young Boba's got the helmet and he's just like pouting after his dad got killed by a Windu. Oh, man.
Oh, we didn't need Jango Fett. Yeah. We didn't need that backstory at all.
No, we didn't.
No. But I don't know. I have some theories. Oh, and the whole voiceover of Luke talking about how, you know, using the Force and everything, but the Jedi need to go away.
Yeah, the Jedi are done.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it harkens back to an old extended universe storyline where Luke determines that the whole reason there is so much conflict is because of the separation of the light and the dark side.
That you have to teach both sides.
Yeah. You have to find the balance, which in the old EU novels was called the Gray Jedi or Gray Force Users, where you use the tools available, which if you go back and look in Return of the Jedi, Luke did.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't pure one side or another. I mean, he tapped both sides.
And I wouldn't be surprised if that's the angle that they pull with these.
Oh, I'm sure.
Kicking out all the EU stuff was the smartest thing they could have ever done. Because
kicking
now,
out, but then selectively picking up the pieces they want.
They can take the good stuff out and throw away all the extraneous garbage.
Mm-hmm. Which there's a lot of. Yeah. Because I will, as much as I love Star Wars and as much as I've read a lot of the EU books, they are some of like the most cliche, cheesy sci-fi writing ever.
Well, no one had to adhere to anyone else's stuff that came before them. So there's a lot of contradictory.
Yes and no.
So let's move on to other movie news. So I guess there's a new Aladdin live action movie coming.
Because of course there is. They're doing all of them.
Yep. And Disney's going back and making live action remakes of... It's going to get real dark when they get to The Fox and the Hound.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're making live-action remakes, whether it makes sense or not.
Yeah. So, so the question is, who's going to be the genie? And there's a rumor that the genie will be coming from West Philadelphia, born and raised. On the playground is where he spent most of his days.
It's Will Smith.
It's Will Smith. Yeah, we're talking about Will Smith.
The prince. The Fresh Prince.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a good idea.
I mean,
what else is he doing?
You know who would
other
be kind
than
of
bumping
funny?
His son's career up?
Yeah.
Who would be kind of funny?
Aziz
Ansari. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be
It'd be
funny.
A little different, but I think it'd be funny.
It would be funny. Sure,
it'd be great.
Oh,
though he's one of the Donald nephews in the new DuckTales. No, he's not. I'm thinking of the other guy from Community. Oh,
Danny Pudi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How could you get those?
Shut up.
Very different. Dudes.
They are very different dudes.
Someone confused Kumail with Aziz or something, or someone else.
They are also very different.
Very
dudes.
Different. Yeah.
Either. Okay. Anyway.
Anyway.
Will Smith.
Kumail could play like a really sarcastic genie. That'd be kind of funny,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Treat yourself. Hey, Aladdin, treat yourself.
I think going in a different direction with the genie is probably the best thing they could do.
Yeah.
Because you can't.
You can't match his energy.
Yeah, Robin Williams.
Robin Williams, yeah. I don't think Will Smith's a good choice for this because unless is Aladdin going to be played by Jaden Smith?
Oh, God.
Oh, I hope not.
Is this going to be...
After Earth 2?
After Earth 2?
Welcome to Agrabah. Man, I used to really love Will Smith, like the 90s Will Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Like those movies... I enjoy.
He's kind of been off his game.
He
last
really
several
has.
Movies.
I'll tell you, there's one reason for it, and it begins with S, and it ends in Iontology.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's claimed, yeah, that's kind of
many a good actor.
That's kind of a thing. Although he denies claims, he's
I think
super super good friends with Tom Cruise and has been seen on the Scientology yacht many a time. And
well, I think for some people, like they don't completely buy into all the weirdness, but it's more of a
until they wake up one morning and go, "Oh God, I'm Scientologist."
Yeah,
they use it as a tax shelter.
Probably, it's more of a like a Hollywood status thing. Because they a lot of actors throw into this.
No, a lot of them believe it, and
well, that's stupid.
Or say they believe it so they can use it as a tax shelter.
Well, but yeah. Well, anyway, yeah.
Now that we're on some Sea Org hit list.
Oh, we're on the yes. Just by saying that, we are on the list. Yeah.
It's all right. So. I'm sure I've got plenty of Thetans.
They were just all jacked up with Thetans.
Yeah, that's yeah.
I don't know. I have not really been enjoying Will Smith, like, for a long time, actually.
What was the last good Will Smith movie that we've seen?
What was that one where
7 Pounds.
That was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago.
I know.
What was the one where he was a superhero, but
Hitchcock? Hitchcock was awful.
Yeah, Hitchcock's a terrible movie.
It wasn't... I mean, it was bad.
The first half was really good.
But yeah.
Once it got to the point where their secret immortal space gods.
Yeah, like maybe angels or some garbage.
Yeah.
Like it got really bad.
It got really bad.
The beginning was good.
Yeah, when he was a crappy superhero that was cleaning up his act, if they would have made that the entire movie, that would have been fine.
It was Hancock. It's Hancock. Not Hitchcock.
No, Hitch was the one
Hitch.
Where
Hitch.
Hitch was the one where
he's a matchmaker.
He was trying to get the King of Queens to.
Find a queen.
His queen of queens.
Queen of queen. Let's see here. He did After Earth. That was an awful movie. He did...
Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad. Which,
for all intents and purposes...
He's probably one of the better parts of that movie.
Yeah. He's pretty good in it.
Let's see, what was that dramatic movie where he was homeless? It was him and his son. Because that was really good. I just can't... I'm blanking on the name.
Yeah, I remember
of
him... Like, it was like a period film, wasn't it?
It was based on... True Events.
Yeah, it was like set in the 70s, late 70s, or 80s. Early 80s.
Yeah.
Because I remember the brown suit thing.
Mm-hmm. What was that movie?
I refuse to look it up. I'm not going to look it up. I'm just going to be wrong on this.
Yeah, I'm just going to let people scream at their radios or podcast boxes what the name of this movie is.
Yeah. It's the something of something.
Oh, and it's kind of got a grammatical
error
in the title on
Pursuit
purpose.
Of Happiness.
Pursuit of Happiness. That's it. Yep, there it is. Good
Boy,
job.
We really went around the long way on that one.
Wowzer. Okay. Okay.
Fence Inspector.
I hope they don't cast a bunch of white people for this Aladdin movie.
But they will. I don't know. Hey, well, maybe we'll get the Prince of Persia thing again and get Jake Gyllenhaal.
That's
Aladdin
should be.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh no.
Yeah, just a really tan white guy.
What's his fake prince name?
I don't. Prince Ali.
Ali Ababwa.
Yeah. Yep. Prince Ali of Ababwa.
Prince Ali.
Jefferson.
Yes, it
is he. Well, it's funny if you go back and watch the movie. There are times Aladdin looks really white.
Well, he's based on Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
His looks are based on Tom Cruise.
He also has no nipples, and that's weird.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This movie, he should just have very prominent
just
nipples.
Just very big, prominent nipples.
like dinner plates.
Yeah.
Just make up for the lack of nipples in the original.
Just find some actor whose nipples are the entirety of their chest. Just giant, like... Anyway.
And they're pierced, and the weight of the piercing is just pulling them down.
Yeah.
Why?
He gauges them out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, before we go too far into this gross hole.
Too late.
Yeah, before we have to cut this.
Yeah. Let's do some quick hits for some TV news.
We got Cloak and Nipple. I mean Dagger.
they released a trailer for the Cloak and Dagger show that's going to be on Freeform. Cloak and Dagger's a Marvel superhero
team.
We've talked about it before.
Trailer looks good. It looks good. It doesn't look very superhero-y.
No, it looks kind of like a CW drama.
It's a CW teen drama about angst and runaway kids that
have superpowers.
But it's not the runaways.
When it gets to sweeps week, someone's going to manifest superpowers, probably.
All the runaways.
Yeah. That's still coming. That's going to be on Hulu, I think.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that. Yeah. I like the runaways.
Beyond that, they also announced what the actual lineup for the new Warriors team is going to be for the new Warriors TV show starring Squirrel Girl.
Featuring Squirrel Girl.
Yeah. Starring Squirrel Girl.
So I have this list here. Let me pull it up here. Okay, so let's see how many of these people you guys know. Okay, Squirrel Girl.
No, I've never heard of her.
Who? Yeah.
Squirrel who?
We have Night Thrasher.
Heard of him.
Yeah.
And it sounds like he's got some major insomnia problems.
Yeah. He's basically teenage Batman.
He skateboards at night.
Yeah, that's what it is. Speedball.
Yep.
Has a heavy drug problem.
Yeah.
He was featured very prominently in the Marvel Apes universe.
His whole thing is he throws kinetic balls of kinetic energy.
Well, he is kinetic energy.
And he can bounce around.
Yeah. Like, and each time he bounces, he collects more kinetic energy and can deal more damage.
Yeah, he's a Super Ball, but they called him Speedball.
Yeah, probably because they couldn't get the rights to call him Super Ball. Also, that name's kind of dumpy and dumb.
Yeah.
Yep.
Probably Ricochet was already taken.
Mike Robe, who is a obscure-ish character. He was part of the New Warriors that capped off the Civil War One book.
Yeah, when they all blew up.
He's this big guy who can communicate with bacteria and can use it basically as telekinetic kind of powers.
Bacteria.
It sounds like he could just make you real sick.
Well, that too.
It's
going to
make this potato salad real nasty.
That's a nice pizza you got there. Be a shame if it grew hair.
Yeah. We have Mr. Immortal, who was a Great Lakes Avenger character.
Yep.
Who... yeah, as his name suggests, he is immortal. Doesn't mean he can't die.
He just
comes back after a while. the whole point of his character in the Great Lakes Avenger, the mini series, by the end of the first issue, Mr. Immortal is dead, and he's gone for the rest of the series to eventually just come back at the beginning of the next one. That was kind of the joke.
Kenny.
Yeah.
He's South Park's Kenny. He's Kenny. Years before that was the thing.
Pretty much.
But you literally watch him crawl out of his own grave.
Yeah, at one point. Yeah.
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 Instead of being reborn over and over again. That's Kenny's actual thing.
Yeah. And he's actually one of the major characters in the new Great Lakes Avengers ongoing series.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty cool.
Well, yeah, Squirrel Girl's out, so they got to fill it. They got to pad that roster. In.
And then the last one is a character named Debris, which is another telekinetic... And
telekinetic power over cheese.
Yeah.
Debris. Not Brie.
Don't know much about the character. They're making her lesbian on the show, which.
Okay.
Okay. Fine. That's where they're going to get that angle of storyline into the show.
They're gonna have a big news thing where they're like, it's the first openly gay TV.
Exactly.
Superhero.
That's kind of the whole point.
And then on the show, she's going to be like, maybe I like girls. I don't know.
Yeah, that's probably, you know what? You probably nailed it. Yeah.
That was very much the Yellow Ranger.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I think they're only doing this to this character because there is nothing about this character beyond that. She's maybe popped up in maybe four issues of, again, the old New Warriors that ended up exploding.
So her superpower is that she's a lesbian.
Yeah, kind of. That's kind of the point of this character.
Which is a shame, really.
Yeah, it's a shame. I wish they would work it into but, you know, whatever. Yeah, this is a good lineup. Six characters seems like a good
team. Yeah.
Team,
yeah.
I guess.
And it's on Freeform, too.
It's on Freeform.
Apparently where all these shows are going. I don't know what that's about.
Yeah, I think they're trying to combat the CW with their superhero lineup.
Yeah.
That is more aimed toward maybe a slightly younger audience.
Yeah. Well, Freeform's the same place that the show Pretty Little Liars is on, and a lot of
people
those
love
other...
that show.
Yeah, and it's
never watched it.
I don't even know what it is.
Teenage angst drama in high school,
trying to solve a mystery that ongoes through the entire series on who's blackmailing them.
Yeah, it's like a bunch.
It's got like a I Know What You Did Last Summer kind of thing.
I thought that was Gossip Girl.
No,
that too.
But no, this is different.
Yeah,
it affects everybody in the whole show. Mm. I used to work with a bunch of people that were watch that show all the time.
I was wondering. They seem to know an awful lot about Pretty Little Liars.
That's the only reason.
Are
I
they
know.
Like physically very small?
No,
I wish.
No. So it's not like a borrower situation.
That would be great. Oh, there's a blackmail situation, and also they're real tiny.
and very pretty.
Sitting around their button table.
They're very attractive, very small people.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and get into our last topic here. We're kind of running a little short on time. So the NES Classic, that thing.
It's gone.
It's gone.
Dead.
R.I.P. They're not producing that any longer.
Nope, it has been officially discontinued.
So the four people that got one, consider yourself lucky. Because
and the eight others that have been selling them on eBay for,
$300.
A king's ransom.
There's been a report that they've been selling one every 2 minutes on eBay since the announcement that the NES Classic
There's still one more big shipment that's going to go out, I guess, I've heard. But after that, it's done.
Yeah, and
so buy two.
It's weird how they announced it. They should have said, "Well, by the end of 2017, this product is going to be phased out." That's the way they should have done it. That would give people enough time to go out and get. Now, that's like, it's Nintendo building a false commodity, I guess, making it like.
Well, they were kind of doing that anyway with the really awful allocations.
Well,
it seems like they never actually wanted to make it at all. And just needed something to pad out that Christmas.
They needed a stopgap between, Wii U and Switch.
When the Switch came out.
Yeah. It's going to make me real mad when all of the games for the Nintendo Classic get put on the eShop for the Switch. And it's not for the $30 or $40 for the bundle.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's what they should do. They should just put out a cart with all of the games from the NES Classic.
NES Classic Edition.
Yeah. That way you can just plug it into your Switch and play.
But we still don't know what they're going to do with the virtual console. So
we don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Along with that, there are rumors that a Super Nintendo Classic is going to be on the way. And
which, like, it makes sense, and at the same time it doesn't.
Yeah.
Like, if you didn't want to do the first one, much seems like you didn't.
Yeah.
Why do the Super Nintendo?
Yeah, and those things are going to sell like... Oh, you'll never see one in the wild.
It keeps people talking about it.
Yeah. It'll be more popular than the NES Classic was because the Super Nintendo has way better games.
Way better games. Oh, absolutely.
It'll have to have, like, Link to the Past, Super Mario World.
Yeah, I was going to say, what kind of games would you want to see on a Super Nintendo Classic?
That's two of them.
Yeah, Link to the Past, Super Mario World.
Super Mario World is probably, to this day, one of my favorite Mario games of all time. That and 3.
Mm-hmm. You'd have to put at least one of the Donkey Kong countries.
If they could get the rights from Rare.
No, they have the
rights. Oh, they have the rights for those?
Yeah,
okay.
They have this. Okay. They're on the Wii U Virtual Console.
Gotcha. A Metroid, Super Metroid.
Oh, yeah, Super Metroid definitely has to be there.
Mario Kart.
Mario Kart. How many do we get? 30?
30, yeah.
If we're going by the same...
Yeah.
Star Fox.
That's an interesting situation because they've never re-released the Super Nintendo Star Fox.
Yeah.
And nobody really is 100% sure why. They think it's maybe because of licensing or patent issues with the Super FX chip that was in it.
Mm.
But nobody knows really for sure. Nintendo isn't saying.
Yet, in the last Star Fox, they allowed you to pilot the retro-style R-Wing.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I'm sure that whatever is there has been cleared.
Well, I mean, that's different. Having a low-poly chip in that Star Fox is different than... patents on the technology in a chip that powers the game.
Yeah.
It's the same way with another game that should be on there, Yoshi's Island.
Mm-hmm.
That has the Super FX chip in it too, and that's never been re-released.
Yeah.
Except for the Game Boy Advance remake,
mm-hmm.
which isn't quite as good.
Gotcha.
So you the only way to play the original real Yoshi's Island is to get the
card. The original one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes me wonder what kind of third-party games we would see on here. Like, I doubt we would see any Konami games.
Well, I mean, they made a Bomberman on the Switch.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Super Ghouls and Ghosts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Contra 3, Castlevania 4.
Mm-hmm.
Although that's not a terribly good Castlevania game.
Final Fantasy 3?
They gotta have at least one Final Fantasy.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Is it 3 or 6?
They're one and the same.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm trying to think of, yeah.
I would hope it would be 3/6, but it could also be 4.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, which is also good. Square seems to love 4
mm-hmm.
for some reason. They've done two kind of sequels to it.
Yeah. Would we see any Mega Man X games?
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Or at least Mega Man 7. Preferably the X games, because they're better.
Yeah. I love the X games.
It's better than 7. 7's kind of it's all right.
Yeah. I would almost guarantee that we would not see any version of Street Fighter because of the Street Fighter 2 Ultimate.
Yeah.
That's coming out for the Switch. Probably because not. We wouldn't see that.
Final Fight would be nice.
Final Fight would be nice. I agree.
Chrono Trigger would be awesome, but I can't see him doing it.
Yeah.
It just seems too good to be true.
I honestly can't see them doing a bunch of RPGs on a system like this.
Yeah. No.
I would really love Super Mario RPG.
It's never going to happen.
No. Never.
Yeah.
I just had one.
Yeah.
Darn it.
And would we get 30 games, or would we have to get less because of the
power required?
Constraints and
there's
stuff.
There's enough memory in the NES Classic to fit about 600 actual NES games.
That's
so
true. Yeah,
if it had 600 games.
Yeah.
Maybe F-Zero?
Yeah.
Yeah, F-Zero.
That'd
sure.
be fun.
Sure.
And although if you got Mario Kart, do you need F-Zero?
They're different, though. It's apples and oranges.
What other way would I be able to show you my moves?
This is true.
Yeah.
Also, ooh. I love how easy it is to die in F-Zero.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I
yeah.
know. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Though I never drove Captain Falcon's car. I always hated it. I always drove the red one that looked kind of pink.
It was pink. That's Samurai Goro's car. It is pink.
It's pink. I guess that would depend on the TV I was playing on.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I just had one that was
I
really
was
good.
Always the Blue Falcon boy.
Shoot.
Kirby Superstar. The number one best Kirby game that there is.
Although Kirby 64, I really enjoyed.
And I was hoping we'd get a Game Boy Classic before we got Super Nintendo Classic.
Yeah.
I want a fake portable Game Boy with
30 games.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
It's all big and blocky like a Game Boy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Turn it on, you get that ding.
Earthbound.
Yeah. Earthbound. Yeah. Yeah, right.
Which I think now that they've kind of already re-released it twice, they're more likely to actually
that's
put
true
it on the,
yeah that's very true thing. Yeah,
also Nintendo doesn't have any other RPGs of their own to put on there.
Yeah, anyway, we're hoping that this thing happens.
We'll never have one.
I'll never see one.
Oh, I'll get one.
All right, well, hey, let's go ahead and wrap things up here since it seems like we're just about at time. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
Your exclusive source for pop and geek culture news.
Hey, you got Facebook? Who am I kidding? Yes, you do. You can find us over at facebook.com/nerdoverloadradio. Give us a like. You know, follow us.
That'd something. Be cool.
Do something.
Yeah.
Don't just sit there.
Click that thumb.
Just go to that page, start clicking everything.
Just click everything you see.
Same with the website.
Yeah.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
What would you like to see on the NES class or on the Super Nintendo Classic?
Yeah, let us know.
Let us know.
We'll forward it over to our friends at Nintendo we don't have.
Yeah.
You can tweet at us, nerd_overload. You know, tell us what you'd like to see on the SNES Classic via Twitter.
Yeah, do it. Why not?
We'll retweet to Nintendo.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we are also on iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube.
I forgot to mention the YouTube.
That's all right. I got you back. Get you back, buddy. So go check us out over there. You can find all of our back episodes. So yeah, anyway, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Peace out.
This show was sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes.